It's a very quiet class. All right. Let's open. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for another semester where we just can be here and just soaking in your word and your life, Father. But we ask, Father, that it's not just for us, but it's for those out there as well, Father, that we can learn of your life so we can pour it out unto others so they can be refreshed, Father, and just come and be freed by your word, Father. I thank you for the classes we have semester, Father. And we just appreciate your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, welcome to the first class of New Testament Survey. And I'm going to go through some facts here about the class first before we get into our first chapter. Does everybody have their book? Does everybody have a book? Okay. All righty. I have the teacher's copy. All right. I'm going to read the introduction. This book is a survey of the New Testament, therefore its content is not all-encompassing. It presents the basic facts of the New Testament in simple way in order to prepare the person for more in-depth study later. The history and the background that leads up to the events found in the New Testament are very important. Also, an understanding of the world powers of the day and the religious climate is given in order to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. Toward the end of this course is a short study of each of the books of the New Testament. Much emphasis is given to the historical events instead of the spiritual implications. This study is meant to be fuel with which the Holy Spirit will use to bring you greater into the depths of Christ himself. The purpose of this study, the purpose of the study question is to get you into the scriptures in order to have firsthand knowledge of the events and the writings of the New Testament. In other words, you have work to do. It's going to be very important that you take notes. I'm going to be reading from the study book. If I say something that you don't quite understand, please raise your hand because I want you to get this, you know. Or you need to, you know, you're trying to write it down and I'm moving ahead. Yeah. Okay. We have table of contents here. We have 11 chapters and 11 classes. I'm going to try to fit each class into the hour that we have. So this is going to be a task. Please pray for me because, as you know, I'm a talker. Maybe the good Mallory's here. She can throw stuff at me if I go too long. Okay. New Testament Survey course. The instructor here is Gregory Valle. It's written by Randy Nussbaum. The objectives here: to help the student obtain greater knowledge of the Bible and its content. To aid the student to know how to use the Bible in Christian service. 3, to enable the student to know the appropriate spiritual knowledge for himself and others. 4, to establish the spiritual base of knowledge and people from which Christ can be glorified here and around the world. Okay, textbooks, Bible, obviously. New Testament Survey book, Bible references books if you have them. Methods, study of the Bible, its origins, history, organization, and content. 2, use of class lectures, handout, and workbook. 3, student participation, research themes, and reports as prescribed by the instructor. 4, homework, and the workbook. And then, let's see. Okay. All right. If you'll turn to chapter 1, we will begin. All right. Comparison, chapter 1, comparisons of the Old, of the Testaments. Comparison of the Old and New Testaments. You have two lines here. One is has the heading of Old Testament, the other New Testament. Under Old Testament, we have what was a shadow, law, Israel, begins with a curse, given on Mount Sinai, looking forward to the cross. On the other side is the fulfillment of those shadows, grace, Jesus, the Christ, the church, ends in blessing, given at Mount Calvary, look back to the finished work of the cross. And even there, you know, this whole thing, like I was sharing at the orientation, I mean the registration, we're going to see how God moved throughout history to get certain things in order, in order that he may bring this message, that this will, you know, this message, this life that we have can be proliferated around the world. You know, everything's got to start somewhere. But even like right here, you see Israel and the church, you know. Israel was, you know, Israel were the people of God. You know, we all know about what happened with them. Mallory was sharing about how, you know, what happened with Israel there and her class and stuff, you know. But they were an example of the body of Christ. And so, you know, we see that example of them. We see the example of their lives, of what happened when they were obedient to God, and we see what happens when they were not obedient to God. And it's the same thing with the church. The church is a body, just like Israel was. We are his body here on earth. And if the church is not obedient to God, things go really awry. Not because God is mean and he wants to slap us around. But it's like, you know, I'm going to reference Mallory here. Like, she was talking about the whole, you start in Denver and you end in Colorado, or you end in, I forget what she said, but it's the same thing. You know, when the church is not obedient to the Lord, you can't expect things to go right because it started off in the wrong way. And, you know, I was sitting back there and I was agreeing a lot with her because, you know, I've been at this for a long time and I've been involved in a number of churches. And once again, I'll state I'm not trying to be critical toward anybody else, but I find today, it's just kind of disheartening. What people consider discipleship, I don't really think is discipleship. Because discipleship really, truly, in its essence, has to do with who you are in Christ. And discipleship today is, you were bad, Jesus had to go to the cross, so you should feel bad for that and, you know, give your life to him. I mean, basically, that's it, you know. And then you spend the rest of your life feeling, you know, terrible for everything you do instead of seeing yourself in him completed. Okay, let's continue. Okay, the term testament is used for both the Old and New Testament. It is the same word as covenant. There are different terms used in the Bible to show this contrast of the two covenants. Some of them are the first and second covenant, Hebrews 10:9. Might want to write this down. The new and old covenant, Hebrews 8:13. And the letter and the spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:6. The covenant was an instrument which to convey certain things to another. The old covenant denotes a contractual agreement and a relationship that God established with his people. The old covenant established one way in which God related to his people, and the new covenant established another. To make the covenant, there had to be A, party of the first part, B, party of the second part, C, things to convey the heir, a legacy, and D, conditions to be met. Now, you know, all this stuff sounds like legal jargon, and if you look at it, you know, we actually do get a lot of our legal, you know, basis from the scriptures. You know, historically, you know, a lot of what we have as far as our legal system, laws, so forth, were based on the scriptures. So if you think of it this way, if the people who founded this country or other nations thought it was important that, you know, the most important document to emulate for creating a civil society was the scriptures, then what happens when a society starts to pull away from that, starts to say, well, we don't need those things anymore. They're old. You know, they're archaic. They don't really count. You know, let's move on to something new. Well, then that society starts to fall apart. And this is exactly what we see today. And that's exactly what you saw happening in Rome. You know, Rome fell. As we said, a covenant, covenant is an agreement and an arrangement between two parties. In the case of the old covenant, the parties were God, the party on the first part, and Israel, the party on the second part. To fulfill Israel's end of the bargain, she must keep certain moral requirements. The center of those requirements is the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 1 through 17. Israel covenanted to do and keep these requirements, and God covenanted to bless and protect them. To break any requirement was to break the covenant. It was to break the covenant with God. In this covenant, failure on the part of Israel to uphold their end of the agreement not only resulted in God not doing his part, but also brought a curse. Romans 4:14, Galatians 3:13. Israel could be judged by the old covenant, but they could not be justified by it. Galatians 3:11. The new covenant is called a better covenant because it is based on Jesus Christ and better promise. Hebrews 8:6. So, even early in this stage of the class, we see that our relationship with God is based on Christ. It's not based on, you know, the works or the things that we do. You know, growing up, I always heard about, well, you know, the Old Testament is when God was angry, and the New Testament, somehow he got happy. You know, that's basically what, I mean, how it got explained to me, you know. And it's just like, okay, you know. And so in my young mind, growing up in the particular religious background we had, I equated that with other things that I heard was, well, if I do what's right, God's going to, you know, basically bless me. And if I don't, I'm going to be a grease stain on the wall. And when you have that kind of relationship with somebody, you know, I mean, that's not a very stable relationship. But we see from this, it wasn't that God was, you know, ready just to smack people around, but there was a covenant. You know, basically people said, look, God, you know, it's once again what Mallory was sharing earlier, you know, they rejected the true gospel and said, let's do it this way. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You agree to this and do this and this will happen. And if you break that, then this has to happen, you know. But we are now in Christ. Okay. The word testament is also, the word testament is also understood in terms of the will or the last will and testament. This shade of meaning of the word testament introduces the thought of distribution of a person's possession after their death. Hebrews 9, 15, and 16. Let's make a distinction between the testaments as the two different covenants that God made and two different sets of books entitled Old and New Testament. We have discussed the Old and New Covenants as different agreements God had with his people. But the Old and New Testaments can also be seen as two different parts of the Holy Bible. The part of the Bible that is considered the Old Testament is Genesis through Malachi, which consists of 39 books. If taken historically, then the Old Testament precedes the New chronologically. By the time that Jesus came, the last book of the Old Testament written, Malachi, was over 400 years old. Another thing that divides the scriptures is that the Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. Can anybody tell me why that's important? Go ahead. Anybody else? Go ahead.
It's probably what I said before, but the Greek and Hebrew languages are very specific with their words and stuff. Like, from the arrangement to of the sentence, you can tell the importance of what's being said just based on what words come in what order. And the words, they're all so specific to very particular meanings that are harder to convey in other languages. Like, Greek, for instance, has several different words for the one word we have for love. They have several different, which define, say, God's love versus man's love, etc., etc. So it's a specific language for everything it's saying.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see that you guys are doing your studies, but I want to interject something here. I shared this toward the last two classes of last semester. Mallory shared this, and Randy shared this, and they talked about, thinking outside the box, that you can get caught up in the lingo of where you're at and kind of forget. And so those were great answers, don't get me wrong. But basically, the reason why it was important is that it was the common language of the day. And so what I'm trying to communicate to you here is, if I were a non-Christian and I were to ask you, oh, why was that important, and you gave me that answer, you'd probably lose me. It's like, you know. But it's also good to think, oh, well, it was the common language of the day. And you could show somebody through that how God was moving. Because, I mean, if you were to move to Japan and you didn't know Japanese, you'd be lost. It's like, okay, you know, sushi. It's like, you know. I mean, you know, two words I know in Japanese, arigato and konnichiwa, and they're not going to get me far, you know. And so, you know, I mean, you know, God had everything in order. He knew what was going on. And so people, the common person needed to know this. And so what do? Hey, you change the language, you know. Mallory, anything? Okay. Thank you. I expect my prize after. Okay. All right. The New Testament scriptures show the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament was full of types, shadows, and spiritual pictures of which Jesus became the fulfillment. You know, and you understand that, right? What a type and shadow is. That's basically right there. It described what a type and shadow is. You know, it's a, you know, The way the Lord showed me, it was, I was watching, what's that channel? The book, the magazine comes out every month. Thank you, National Geographic. They have a thing on TV, and they were doing an episode on World War II. Particularly this episode was on the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And they were showing pictures of one of the towns, the cities, prior to the bombing drop. And then they showed pictures after. And there was literally nothing left. It was just devastated. But one of the pictures was of a piece of rubble of what was left of a building. And you could see there was some discoloration in it. And they were explaining, they got a little closer, they were explaining what that literally was the shadows of people that were at ground zero when the bomb went off. And the heat was so intense that it literally burned their shadows into the wall. They were incinerated, but their shadows were there. So the way the Lord showed it to me was like, you could go up that wall and you could look at that and somebody can say, that was Edmund's shadow. That's Edmund's shadow. And I can get some things about Edmund out of it, but I don't know Edmund because the fulfillment isn't there. But Edmund is now sitting right in front of me. He is a fulfillment of himself. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. And but that's basically where the type and shadow. Type and shadow show us what which is to be, and then there's the fulfillment in Christ. Okay. Jesus said of the Old Testament scriptures that they would not pass till they be fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. He came to do just that. And the shadow is no longer in force when the true has come. The Old Testament prepares for the new. You cannot understand certain New Testament statements and concepts without basic understanding of the Old Testament books. The scriptures declare that we are the circumcision, a concept taken from the Old Testament. That thought has no meaning to you without study of the Old Testament circumcision. Some call the New Testament the Christian scriptures and the Old Testament the Jewish scriptures. If this statement refers to who the scriptures were addressing originally, this is true. However, Jesus said, "Behold, the volume of the book, it is written of me." Hebrews 10:7. So once again, we're seeing, you know, I shared this before in the other class. There are things that are separated specifically in the Testaments for specific reasons so that we can see what God is doing, what is there, what we need to see, what we need to learn. But ultimately, they both are basically one whole book with one mind and one theme. And Jesus saying that, you know, as Randy points out, when he said that, there was New Testament. It hadn't been written. So we can conclude that if Jesus is saying in the volume of the book it is written of me, he is speaking of the Old Testament. If we can see Jesus in the Old Testament, and we could definitely see Jesus in the New Testament, then the whole thing must be speaking of that one place that we are to dwell, and that's in Christ. You know, and we went through a lot of that in the, the Body of Christ class. There was a lot of in Christ. You know, and I'm sure there was probably in your other classes it was being said a lot too. And that is because God is trying to get that point across to you. That everything is founded in Christ. You know, barring from Mally's example about starting in Denver and ending up in, you know, Dallas and stuff. But, you know, I hear a lot of people quote, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, oh, well, what are you doing? I'm learning how to drive a car. You know, I think if you're learning how to drive a car, you should have faith in the Lord for it. But I don't think necessarily God's concern, big concern, is whether you pass your driver's exam or not. And you know, that's not where he's heading. The all things has to do with being in Christ. So once again, if you're operating outside of that, then what are you doing? What is it? You know? You have all the right sayings, you have all the right scriptures, you have all the right Christian t-shirts. But it's still religion. You have to remember, I shared this with you, that the basic nature of a man is religious. You know, that's why a lot of times when a person becomes a Christian, they go nuts. You know, it's because they spent a lifetime of sinning, and then now they're saved, and so something's different in them, but all they know is that at that point is, well, I lived bad, and now I need to do good. And so now what they do, because they don't understand about this in Christ concept yet, they look at everything from the outward, so they judge everything from the outward. So they want to jump all over you, or everybody, you know, because they're trying to fit everybody into that space that they think they're supposed to be, because that's what's going to make God happy. They haven't quite got to the point of understanding, no, that's not going to make God happy. What's going to make God happy is you live by faith and you learn of the Son, and you learn by his life how to fit in there, not by force. You know? And I tell you, force sucks. It does. I mean, I've tried to force myself to do things hundreds of times, and I failed. You know? I, at one point, was, you know, I mean, I was really a hyper-Christian. I tried to, you know, I'd get on people about stuff, you know, really, you need, you know. And then they'd, and then they fall. It's like, what's going on, you know? And I didn't understand, you know. I mean, you know, I was pointing to Christ. I was pointing to, you know, self-effort. So. All right. You cannot fully understand this. This book's falling apart. It's a lot like me. Yeah, you cannot fully understand that New Testament's statements and concepts without the basic understanding of the Old Testament books. The scriptures declare that we are circumcision. Okay, I've been through all that. The Old Testament and the Jewish scriptures. If this statement refers to the scriptures, I know I went through this already, but I'm just going to read it again. If this statement refers to the scriptures were addressed originally, then this is true. However, Jesus said, behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Yes, it is. To receive the fullness of the understanding of Christ's will require an understanding of the whole Bible. Also, if we believe the New Testament is of God, then we must believe what it says about the Old Testament scriptures, that they are inspired of God and profitable. 1 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. And so already we're seeing that the New Testament is not just a standalone book on its own. There are people who will preach and fully believe that the Old Testament, that was for then, and the New Testament is for now. The Old Testament was for Israel. The New Testament is for the Christians. And so we really don't need to bother with the Old Testament. In fact, there are actually whole denominations that completely just forego the Old Testament. But you can't do that, because then you don't get a whole picture. And so in this class, in order to see what was going on in the New Testament, you have to see what was going on in the Old Testament. Now granted, like we said, the two books are separated for their specific reasons. But God is trying to show you the same thing throughout history. You know, I mean, basically, he's been saying the same thing since Genesis to us all. It's just how we've approached it, you know, basically. Alrighty, by show of hands, how many of you were able to do your homework? Everybody looks at it. Nice. Alrighty. That does not let you off easy. No. Okay. Mallory, did you do your homework? actually, Mallory wrote the test, so what do I say? You know? Okay, here's what we're going to do. Everybody other than that is fired. No. Chris, did you get to do your... No, okay. Here's what I would like you to do. We really need to go through the questions, because that's a big part of the class. So, I want you to have your questions for this chapter 1 and chapter 2 completed by next week. When we get done with chapter 2, we're going to go through both questions and answer them and so forth. This class is going to be a little different than Body of Christ. Body of Christ was more of you had what was written there in front of you. So you had a lot of references you can do. Your booklet doesn't have what's written in here. So you're going to need, it is very important, you're going to need to take notes. And you're going to need to do those questions. Because you don't have what is written in here, that's why you need. It's important. You need to do those questions. And I know it's hot and it kind of it's sucky and it gets hard, you know. We've got to go to work, you know, and my toe hurts and all that kind of stuff. But you know, and if there was anybody who came up with all sorts of reasons, you know, there's two of us here, like you know, we've been to it, we understand. But trust me, it is really, really, really important. And besides, I don't want to get fired from this job. So, because they promised me twice as much as I made last month, which was nothing. So, hey, it's going to happen, you know, one day. Mike Warnke. Evangelist Mike Warnke used to say that when they took offerings, he used to say that he's believing in God for that $1 million check. And he said, it hasn't happened yet, but he's believing. Like, it's like, okay. All right, Mr. Edmund, can you please close us?
Thank you for a new semester and a new set of classes that have been ordained by you, Lord, and the leadership of Heard for these students here, Lord, that we would walk in a deeper union with you. So, Father, we pray your blessing over this and covering over these classes in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.